This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. This is our weekly conversation with one of our favorite Star Wars fans, where we get to learn about their love for the amazing space fantasy saga. And we might even get to know a little bit more about who they are outside of Star Wars fandom while we're at it. I am David, the Bowtie Jedi Guy, Jesse. Thanks for joining us. While we're getting things ready to go, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Spreaker, and of course, Blog Talk Radio, where we're hosted. That way you'll never miss an episode. And it takes about 45 seconds to set it all up. And it means so much if you can do that. So I want to encourage you with that. All right, today's guest is Peter Ross. Peter Ross is from Toronto, and he is one of our Patreon supporters. He is a Jedi Knight. He's at our $5 monthly support pledge level. He's also a member of the 501st, and I have his name, his like, you know, because you got FN2187, you got all these different Star Wars stormtrooper names. So I'm going to make sure I had it just a second ago. I want to pull it up. TK59812 is his stormtrooper name. And so we're excited to have him on here. And like I said, he's one of our Patreon supporters, and he's been one from almost the very beginning. And so if you want to become a supporter of Tatooine Sons, it's really easy to do. Just head on over to patreon.com/Tatooine Sons. Make sure you take a minute to watch our welcome video so you can learn more about why we do what we do and look over the pledge levels and rewards that are on the right-hand side of the page. Just $1 a month gets you access to our Patreon exclusives while helping us produce family-friendly Star Wars content. And it's something that we really, truly do appreciate if you can do that. So we'd love for you to take a look at our Patreon page and maybe consider becoming our supporter. Another way that we pay the podcast bills is through our podcast sponsors. So before we get started with Peter, here's a message from one of our faithful advertisers. All right. Well, thank you again to our sponsors that come to us through Blog Talk Radio. It's a real honor to be a part of the Blog Talk Radio family, and your sponsorship is very much appreciated. All right. So let's get ready to talk with Peter. Like I said, he's a Jedi Knight, Patreon sponsor. He's a member of the 501st. Oh, and one of the other things is he's got an app that's available both on the Apple Store and on Google Play Store. It's called Saber this, S-A-B-E-R, this. And it's a way to add lightsaber effects to photos and things like that. He's actually a photographer that takes photos of Star Wars, and it's hard, it sounds weird saying it like this because it's so much more advanced than the way I'm going to describe it. But he takes Star Wars action figures and toys and ships, and he creates these amazing scenes and then takes photos of them, and they're just unbelievable what they can do. But he's created an app with some others that allow him to create lightsaber effects and things like that. And this app is available for download both on Apple and on Android. And $1 from every download goes to Sick Kids Hospital in Canada. And their goal is to raise $1,000 to give to the hospital before May the 4th. So check out that app if you would ever have any interest in being a part of this this pledge drive that they're putting together, as well as maybe having an app that would allow you to do some really cool effects like that. So, all right. Here's our interview with Peter Ross.
This is Peter Ross. Peter Ross is Stormtrooper Pete, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Had a great idea. By the way, you know, this morning I had that. I tweeted out about doing something kind for somebody, and you talked about the drive-through thing.
Yeah.
And I went later and made a little video. I don't know if you saw it, but I made a video saying, you know, that was an awesome idea, but it could be even more simple than that. What about just taking an extra 15 seconds to thank the person at drive-thru that probably hates their job and doesn't want to be there, and everybody's always upset with them because it took too long or they got the order wrong and that kind of thing. Yeah. Just thank them. And so, honestly, I got the chance to pick up lunch for Christy and I. I went through the drive-thru today, and I got a chance to do it. And it was so cool to see this girl in the drive-thru at McDonald's, her face light up. Because she probably has never had anybody say thank you. Like seriously, yeah. I'm like, it's going to take a few seconds for me to do this, is what I told her. I said, I hope the people behind don't get upset, but I want you to know how thankful I am for what you do, and making sure that our people get their orders right, and you do it with a smile, and thank you for being that person. And she just lit up. It was so cool. So, yeah, thank you for giving me that idea today. So that was awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
So Peter's in Toronto.
Yep.
He's a big hockey guy. He's in the 501st, which is awesome, but he's never been to Celebration. So we're going to do everything we can to get him to Anaheim in 2019 if that chance comes up.
I'm game. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And then he's got a really good friend that got him into the 501st who made the – I think you said it was the first duplicate?
Yes, he's the first guy outside of Lucasfilm, or this, one of the second guys outside of Lucasfilm to have a fully automated 232. RGD2.
That's so awesome.
Remote control, everything. It's pretty wild.
And he does appearances like officially for Lucasfilm now, right? Or for Star Wars events. That's awesome.
Yep.
Very cool. So hopefully we'll get to hang out with RGD2 at Celebration next time too.
That would be great.
That would be awesome. All right. So we've got 10 questions. Most of them are Star Wars related. Some of them get a little bit wonky at the end, but that's what makes it fun. So here we go. First question. What is your first Star Wars memory?
It is definitely going to be Empire Strikes Back and the Battle of Hoth.
Oh, Hoth, really?
Yeah, I came a little bit prepared. So I've got my original trooper.
Awesome.
And I have my original snowspeeder.
Nice.
So just growing up as a kid, I didn't see Star Wars in the original A New Hope in the theater, but I got to see Empire Strikes Back, and that was it. Like that Battle of Hoth, that opening scene, just that epicness, right?
Yeah.
And everything. And then you got the Imperial March. It's just, it's always been the Battle of Hoth. That was just, for me, that was the first one, and that's what sucked me in. And then it's been a lifetime after that.
It's the first ground battle in the Star Wars universe that we saw.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. Very cool. Favorite Star Wars movie then? Is it Empire?
I don't want to take the cheap way out and say I can't pick one. But I can't pick one. It's got to go Rogue One. So when Rogue One came out, I said, okay, that is a tough one, because Rogue One could maybe edge Empire. It's just so unique, right? And so different in terms of how they approached it. You still have to stick with the classic, though, with The New Hope, because that's what started it all.
Sure.
But then The Last Jedi was just phenomenal. I really did such a good job with The Last Jedi. So somewhere along those lines, those are all tied in one way or another.
That's so
I'm taking
awesome.
The cheap way out.
No, it's not a cheap way out. I remember there's a story of a lady that visited Israel in the last few years. She went to Jerusalem, and she was in a art gallery in Jerusalem talking with the actual artist, and he was a Holocaust survivor, and he painted Holocaust art to sort of just kind of commemorate the things that he experienced. And she was really emotionally moved by it, and she was she asked the artist, which one is your favorite? And in very classic sort of Jewish mindset, the way that they think, he starts asking her questions. He doesn't answer. And he says, are you married? And she says, well, yes. Why? And he's like, do you have children? And he's like, yeah. She goes, yeah. Why? And he's like, which one's your favorite? And she's like, immediately knew that the answer to the question was, there's no way I could pick a favorite. But he did it in a way that emotionally connected with her so that she could understand that. So it kind of reminds me of what you were saying there with, it's not a cheap way out. You've got such an emotional connection with each one of them that it's really difficult to pick one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Next question was, I lost it because I switched over to something really quick. So let me go. We're back. All right. Question number two is favorite. Oh, we did that one. Favorite non-Star Wars movie.
So non-Star Wars movie, again, same thing. It's hard to pick just one.
Okay.
And I wrote down a couple here that I'd probably bounce around depending on the, I don't say the mood, but, just kind of what mood you're in. But something like The Right Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if you recall, about the Apollo program. Yeah. It's just that whole idea. See, then it goes back to space. I don't know. But that whole idea is just phenomenal. Lord of the Rings,
okay.
I think, just fantastic group. American President,
that's an interesting choice.
Off the rails there a little bit, right?
Why is that one so appealing to you?
To me, it was a good storyline. I really liked the acting in it. I think Michael Douglas and Annette Bening did such a great job, and it's just one that I've always enjoyed. If it's on TV and I'm flipping channels, I'm like, I can continue to watch this one. It's a good movie.
Fantastic.
JFK.
Yeah.
I'm a huge JFK fan. So watching that one, just everything that Oliver Stone did with it, I thought was really unique. I like that one. But I think there's other ones that probably don't get a lot of knowledge, but The Power of One, that's probably going back to the early 90s. Or something like Stardust, if you've ever heard of it, with Claire Danes.
Yeah.
So I like some off the record stuff there. Memento, another great one.
Wow. Okay.
So
nice.
Again, I'm not giving you one answer. I'm giving you multiple.
That's okay. There. So we're going to do it again then. See how many characters you can name. What's your favorite character in Star Wars?
Original Trooper Trilogy. Original Trilogy Trooper.
All right. There we go.
I'm a 501st member.
Well, so Stormtrooper Pete, of course.
Right. It's got to be. I should have been wearing my gear. That's what.
So you know what? It's funny because you really aren't picking one character. You're picking like thousands and hundreds of thousands of characters, but they all look the same.
Yes.
So that's awesome. All right. Other than Jar Jar Binks, because that would be the easy answer for most people. Least favorite Star Wars character.
See, I struggled with this one. I wasn't a big fan of Salacious Crumb.
Okay.
And what's the Bib Fortuna?
Uh-huh. So you didn't like the guys in Jabba's Palace very much in Jedi.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it.
Kind of felt like a Muppets episode there for a little bit?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But it was Frank Oz, right? So
it was. He's a pretty amazing man, though. He did some awesome stuff. Did you see that article where Mark Hamill talks, or the video of Mark Hamill breaking down crying a little bit?
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, it was intense. Awesome. All right, I think I know the answer to this one because of what we talked about before we started officially, but better animated series, Clone Wars or Rebels?
Rebels.
Yeah.
Rebels, hands down. And I think it goes back, like we said, is that to me there's an emotional connection.
Okay.
Right? Not that there wasn't, but I didn't have the same degree with Clone Wars. I didn't find the storytelling was as good, but I think more so with this one is that because it was such an event for us as a family, that there's more of a connection with it, with my son, with my daughter, with my wife. Absolutely. Like, it's just a bigger piece for that one.
Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree with that. When you've got, it's more than just a TV series.
Yeah.
To you, you know, that's why when I think of the original trilogy, I remember hanging out with my friends watching it. And I remember emotional connection to that. That's different for me than like the prequels, because I was, you know, an adult and it was awesome to see the prequels, but they weren't the emotional connection. When we were doing the one previous to this, Megan is, you know, she's in her mid-20s, and so the prequels were her Star Wars growing
up. That was right.
And so she loves the prequels. And I think that we forget sometimes that it may be the emotional connection we have with something versus our opinion regarding the story or the acting or the directing as much. So that's interesting. Yeah. Very cool. All right. If you could change one thing about Star Wars, you would?
See, again, I don't want to take the cop out, but I wouldn't change anything.
Okay.
I think they do such a good job of connecting everything together. And, you know, we saw a lot of that in Rebels and how, like, the Purgles and that just everything had a meaning to it, right? And it's just so such a good job to connect everything. I wouldn't change anything. But I would love to see the original cut for Rogue One. So I would only take the fact that
before the reshoots.
Right, because they change it. You remember the first trailer we saw?
Yeah.
They were on the beach and there was different scenes, and then they went back and reshot it. I wouldn't change it, but I'd still like to see it.
You'd like to see a director's cut, that
version. Something, yeah.
Kind of like Superman with the Donner cut, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, do you think that we'll ever see an original cut of Solo, A Star Wars Story? A Lord and Miller
cut? No, I think that's been burned to the ground. I think that's done. I think the closest we'll get to seeing anything other than that would be what we're going to... I have it, the novelization for The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Which has the extra pieces. Now, that was kind of cool because of what Rian Johnson did and how involved he was in the book itself, which is really unique. But no, I think all of that stuff is burned, deleted, destroyed.
It is interesting how Rian Johnson involved himself so much in this version of the novel. You know, with it coming out months after, which that has never happened. I remember reading the novelizations for the prequels before they came out. Like, they came out like 3 or 4 days before the movie.
Yeah.
They would come out with the book releases, which were always on Tuesdays, and the movies were released on Fridays, and you'd go to the midnight showing on Thursday. I would read the novels before I'd go to the movies with it. So, yeah, cool. All right. Let me see. I've got to figure out what the next question is. I lost my place. All right. You are stranded on a desert island. This one Megan made me answer. You're stranded on a desert island and you can only have three things. What do you take?
So, well, I'm assuming there's no family impact here, right? So I struggle with this one.
Well, Megan would not allow me to say Christy, Sam, and Nathan. That's what she said.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I would take a family picture.
There you go.
I would probably take somehow some unlimited supply of sketchbook and pencils.
Awesome.
And you would just be, I mean, if you're there, I just think you'd want to have your picture of your family to obviously remember them. Not that you need it, but you want to look at them. But I just think you'd have a lot of time to, you know, be creative and write, sketch, draw, do whatever you want. Like, it's just you and your mind. So that's, I don't know.
That's awesome. So do you do a lot of sketching and writing and things like that, or?
I don't.
Okay.
I would learn.
So that's cool. You'd have plenty of time if you're stranded on a deserted island, right?
Exactly. That's awesome. I'd get beyond the stick men, but no, that's just what came to mind. I think because of what I do for my photography, that's what came to mind to say, okay, well, I'm not going to bring a camera because I can't do much else with it. So having that just allows me to write and draw. I don't know.
So tell everybody that's listening or watching about the photography work that you do, because it's absolutely awesome.
Oh, thanks. No, you know, it's so I take pictures of my Star Wars toys, right? So I go back in my little, you know, this guy or any other guys that I have. I don't have anything else laying around, my probe droid, whatever. Oh, awesome. I got back into it about a year ago, and it was something, I think, because I started picking up a couple of toys for my son, and we were out one day and took a look and said, hey, this is kind of fun. Let's take a picture of it and have some fun. And then it turned out I was actually having some fun with it. And it brought me back to my much younger days when we used to shoot in 35 millimeter film and have to process it in a dark room with chemical all that, right?
Yeah.
So it just got me back into that creative side, which I had lost sight of. So I started doing it, picking up a couple more figures, really having some fun with it, and it's just taken off since then. And then I realized now there's this huge community on social media, you know, Instagram and Google Plus and, you know, all these others that exist that just makes it a really fun place to be.
It's really amazing what some of the things that you guys do are. It blows my mind. It's not just this photography skills, but it's the creative skills to think up what you're going to do with the scene and then how to pull it off. That's really interesting to me. So it's awesome.
Thanks. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, sometimes I'll copy scenes from movies because I'm trying to recreate that scene in a movie that I enjoy. But then there's other times it's exactly that. It's just let your mind go free, right? Let it go wild and create something on your own.
That's awesome. Very cool. For you, how does Star Wars inspire hope?
It just does. Like it's just there. It's no matter what the circumstances, no matter what you're facing, I think there's always hope that things will be better in the end, right? There's always a way that it will work out. You know, have faith, believe in yourself and what you're doing, and, you know, it will work. There's the sun always gets up tomorrow. I don't know what, you know, kind of
it's
cliche.
It's hard to put into words what you're saying, but, you know, there's...
Yeah, but it's just, I think it comes down to having faith and believe, right?
That's awesome.
And it can always work out.
Yeah. You know, I think that may be one of the reasons why The Last Jedi has been so difficult for some people to process, because it seems to leave everything really on the verge of hopelessness. You know, Luke's gone, the Resistance is basically dead, the Empire has essentially devastated everything, and while there's those moments at the end that sort of allude to something more is going to happen, I think people were so devastated by that hopelessness that they struggle with seeing the hope with that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. And last question. This is always a really fun one for me when I ask people this, because I've asked this for years because I'm fascinated with this idea. But name a time in your life that you had a very clear choice that altered your future. What did you choose and why? And the reason I ask this question in the context of Star Wars is those scenes take place in every movie or every, you know, trilogy. You've got the original trilogy with Luke on the verge of killing Vader, and the Emperor egging him on to do it. And he turns off the lightsaber, he throws it down, and he makes the choice not to do it and says, I'm a Jedi like my father before me. And then you have in the prequel, you have that moment in him out and Anakin is making a choice on what he's going to do. So that's a really, you know, pivotal moment. And then in The Last Jedi, we saw it. But at that moment when Kylo extends his hand to Rey and says, join me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I, watching that movie the first time, I thought for sure she was going there. It felt like it.
That's the way they cut the trailer.
Yes.
Right? Was absolutely. That, oh my gosh, they're going to join and they're going to create everything and...
It was a death. So that type of an idea, there's this pivotal moment and a choice has to be made is a big Star Wars theme. So name a moment like that in your own life. What did you choose and why?
You know what? It's for me, it's easy because I will say my life, my family and everything where it is now is because of one choice that I made.
Wow.
And it was a choice that was made for me, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, I don't want to get younger, and it was obviously difficult for me, but I didn't deal with it by talking to kids or anything. I made a really good connection with a guidance counselor at my school.
Wow.
At the time, and they helped me through this. Right. So I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory because it helps to paint the picture here.
That's
but
good.
They helped me get through it. And ended up becoming friends with them, and I ended up babysitting their kids for them one summer because I had that connection right at that age, right? So it was, you know, coming around 16 years old. So then there was another teacher that had moved into the neighborhood, and she had phoned the school saying, hey, I've got a five-year-old and I've got two-month-old twins, I need a babysitter. So she said, well, actually I know somebody, he'd babysat my kids. So they put me in contact and I was babysitting for them for a while. So a year and a half later, I've been with them for a while, really good friends with them, still babysitting their kids. But then my parents had split up. They had gone their separate ways. I ended up moving in with my dad, and he moved kind of away from my school, but not, it was still manageable to get there through public transportation. But then he got to the point, says, I can't stay here. I need to go into the city more, which would have taken me away from everything. So would it take me away from school? Would it take me away from them and the babysitting that I had and just having that availability? I thought, this is it. I can't leave this and what I want to do with finishing school and everything. And then I couldn't go down, downtown and move away with him again. So at the same time, this family that I was with, and I'd become closer and closer with, they were looking for a new house. So they had bought a house. They said, hey, why don't you come on over? Let's take a look at the house. So they're walking me through it. I'm looking at it saying, hey, this is really great. They take me downstairs and the basement was finished. But what they had ended up doing was putting up doors on a wall. And then they said, this is your room.
Wow.
You can stay with us, because they only moved about 2 minutes away. So for me, I had the choice to say, I can either leave, go on my own and do whatever that probably most kids or most people would have done at that age, or I made a choice to stay with this family. And that is now my family. I have never missed in 26 years or 27 years, I've never missed a Christmas or anything with them.
Wow.
They're the ones that have taught me and raised me to be who I am. And for me, that was a no brainer. I saw this question, you said, that one pivotal moment, that's it, because I know what that did for my life. And it's one of those things where I, without a doubt, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't have the family that I am had it not been for that choice back then.
It's interesting, because it's a moment of, when you're a child and you're going through a parents going through a divorce and your life seems to be in flux and in transition your dad, you mentioned, moving away. That's a point of hopelessness, for a lot of kids, a lot of young people. And what ended up happening was somebody inspired hope with you, that there was something that could be better. And they made you, like you said, they made the choice for you. But in the end, that choice gave you hope, it sounds to me like. And it's been a big impact on you. So I think I already know the answer to this. But if you were to go back and you could be the one to make the choice, would you do anything different?
Nope.
Awesome.
I this is going to get too philosophical here, but I believe you cannot live with regrets. Because if you live with regrets, that means you would change something in your past. And the minute you do that, you would not be where you are now.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
So,
all right, your chance. You get to ask me any of these questions that you want to.
Any of these questions. Oh, my goodness. Well, how does it inspire hope for you?
Yeah. I harped on this. I kind of alluded to it when we were talking about The Last Jedi a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of failure. I think there's
a great message for you there.
Yeah, I think failure is underrated. I think we teach in our society today, we teach kids to fear it. And so because they fear failing so much, and we come down on them for failing so much, our educational system, the way it's set up and just everything like that, that they never take risks. And because they never take risks, just think of this. Imagine if George Lucas would have listened to all of the criticisms that happened with him as he was trying to get this movie made the first time.
Yeah.
And he didn't care. He failed multiple times with other movies. He failed some of the movies he had were success, like American Graffiti, but THX was not a success at all. It was criticized. People didn't get it. And then he had to change studios with Star Wars, and somebody took a chance on him, but they wouldn't have had he not had confidence in his ability to make a movie and that he believed in it. And today, because you have to be the best immediately. And I think our society was sort of the eighth place trophy mindset. It actually tells kids that you're never going to fail. And then when they fail, it hurts so much that they don't know how to deal with it. And what I think we should do is just celebrate getting last place and tell them you failed. You failed miserably. And it's awesome. Thank you for failing. Go do it again. Fail bigger. People put on Facebook all the time, you know, all these motivational guys and people that are doing, you know, home businesses and stuff. They'll post on there, you know, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self and give and tell them two words, what would you tell them? And it's no doubt every time when I see that, it's fail big. You know, fail big. And so Star Wars is really a movie of that's built on a foundation of overcoming things. I love so much about The Last Jedi because every single character in that movie failed. Every one of them. And we're going to get an episode 9 and there's going to be a new story and they're going to move on. And I think that that's an important lesson that we should be teaching the next generation. So
that's good.
One of the things that does for me. Awesome. Any other question on there?
Oh, any other question? I don't know. I'll ask one other one. So what's your first?
Burzloff, my friend on the cul-de-sac. His parents bought him. Well, actually, there's two. Okay, that's like the first one that pops into my mind every time. My first real memory of Star Wars is being 3 or 4 years old and it playing on, like, it felt like it was on loop on HBO. I think it was like the first mega movie HBO got a hold of, and they played it as much as they could. And that's the first time I remember seeing it. I just remember bits and pieces. I remember, you know, Tatooine and droids and lightsabers and Millennium Falcons and things from that. But then as far as like fully fleshed out memory, it was when my friend Jamie got a copy of Empire Strikes Back. He had seen it in the theaters and I hadn't. And he had kept it secret the whole time. He was awesome that way. And I went to his house and we went into his basement and plugged it in. And he sat there and watched me watch that scene where you find out that Darth Vader claims to be Luke's father. And I remember losing my mind and screaming at him, telling him it was a lie, and just him laughing hysterically because he knew it was coming. That was like that's always the first memory of Star Wars that pops into my head when I think about it. So awesome. Well, right, I appreciate you, Peter. I appreciate you coming on and sharing some of this. I think it's awesome to be able to hear your story about it and what you do. Why you love Star Wars and get to know you better. And also, thank you for being a Patreon supporter. Thank you for helping us do what we do. And we're excited about awesome opportunities that are coming our way. I had a phone call today. You're going to be the first patron that hears this because I didn't mention this to anybody else. I got a phone call from Blog Talk Radio today. I can't get into details on it, but it's pretty exciting what they're doing, some new things.
Excellent.
And you guys are a part of it, so thank you for being a part of it.
Well, good for you. Thank you, guys. You guys, like, I truly, what I said the other day, one of the highlights of my week is listening to your new podcast because just the three of you talking, like, you know, and just you and your two sons, like, it's a blast.
That's awesome.
So I love it. I do this. Obviously we don't podcast, but I do the same thing with my son, and we talk about it, and it's just, it's fun. And you know, it's such a highlight to get away from the stress of work and sitting in a car for, you know, an hour and a half driving each way and just getting rid of all that. It's just being able to have that connection, to have that, you know, sharing that is really a lot of fun. So I'm happy to support and participate.
Thank you so much.
All right. So that was Peter Ross, Stormtrooper in the 501st and Jedi Knight supporter of Tatooine Sons on Patreon. And just like I said before the interview, please check out his Saber This app on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. It's just a couple of dollars to download the app. You can use it to add lightsaber effects to your Star Wars photos. And $1 of the cost will be donated to Sick Kids Hospital in Canada to help celebrate May the 4th. That's it for this week. So remember to subscribe to us on your podcast service of choice. Also, you can get in on the conversation by following us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S. And then be sure to listen to our flagship podcast. It comes out on Saturdays, and it's a lot of fun where I sit with Samuel the Hutt and BB Nate, and we talk about Star Wars as a father and his sons. And then also remember our daily Star Wars news podcast called Tatooine Sons Holonet. It's about 3 minutes long. There's no spoilers, no commentary, just the most important Star Wars news of the day. And if you happen to be an Amazon Echo user, you can add it as an Alexa flash briefing. So just search Tatooine Sons Holonet, and you can get that added there. And in the morning, just say, Amazon or Alexa play my flash briefings, and Tatooine Sons will start playing. We're really excited about that. So check it out. Okay, that'll do it for this week's 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. Thanks for listening. I'll leave you with this Tuesday thought. If Star Wars really happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we might be able to watch it through a telescope right now or sometime in the future. Have a great week, and may the Force be with you. Thank you.